What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps? You got this! And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay three nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
To say is ozone is kind of your pre and post too, or where you make sure you run that ozone generator prior to, and then also I like to run it afterwards too, because I'm just kind of a big scent freak, so I double up whenever I can, essentially. Yeah,
so when it comes to scent control, like, I've got like this big elaborate process, and ozone's a major part of that. But what I've seen in the past is some clothing designs that don't hold up to ozone. So scent lock clothing, does it all hold up, but no, the rubber and things like that around the zippers and straps?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, they're what we try to do is we do design around that, Cameron. And then obviously we prescribe do's and don'ts to the consumers. A lot of our bib straps are removable, which is kind of nice. Well, actually bibs, I'm sorry. We have a lot of those pants are kind of that bib hybrid pant style or whatever. We always make those removable. Now on bibs, not as removable, but we've been doing more of like kind of the hook and loop ladder adjustments, and then just having more of a solid strap versus elastic. Now we do have some elastic, and we will tell people to be careful with ozone. It's a certain runtime that really will destroy, especially like rubbers and elastic materials. So all we say is just don't overdo it. I mean, just use ozone in moderation. Half an hour is a good number. And that's what we started introducing with some of our newer units. We used to have like massive units in bags, and there was multiple settings. It would confuse people. So now we're down to this one button push unit. You just have to push it, set it, forget it. It runs for half an hour, and that's the right level of ozone for that storage unit that you're utilizing, so that you won't have people overdoing it. I've done it. I had one of our units that you can run out of cycle, or you can run it until it's dead. So it could run for like 8 hours, right? So we prescribe run the cycle, because it goes on for half an hour, off for a half an hour, on for a half an hour, off for a half an hour, which helps avoid those issues. So I threw an older unit in that had none of those features, because I've been with Scentlock for 4 years here internally, but I did some contract work with them prior to. So when I had got some of their products and testing, I was at deer camp, I threw one in my tote, because I'm just like you, dude. I don't know these series of procedures I do pre and post. Like, I'm a scent freak. Things are going totes, ozone, you know, maybe letting stuff air out, let the perspiration get out of my garments outside prior to storing them. And I left an ozone unit probably run for 3 hours on a pretty high setting, and all the waistbands of my base layers were pretty much torched. So yeah. I'm not afraid of saying that. We talk to our consumers about it, and it's becoming more of a known thing. And so I do prescribe to people, if you do have an ozone unit, whether it's ours or someone else's, just moderation at the end of the day. Half an hour is a solid number. I feel like if you have a bunch of stuff in a bag, I like to run it for 15 minutes, come back, jostle stuff around a little bit, and then do another 15 minutes. So you get maximum coverage.
Yeah, that's the thing with ozone. So for me, the old saying, too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I'm always going to be a proponent of ozone, because it works. I mean, it was not developed as a marketing scheme in the hunting industry. It was brought in from another industry. And by now, most people understand the benefits of it, but a lot of people just still aren't using it. Because they still have their doubts. But the truth of the matter is, guys, if you're not using ozone, you're only holding yourself back when it comes to deer hunting, or any kind of hunting at that, for that matter.
I think so too. It's funny. I use in other applications. Like, let's say you're on a campfire one night, you got that favorite hat, and you go and throw it back on the next day and it smells like smoke. I've thrown a hat in a box with one of our ozone units, ran it for half an hour. It's unbelievable that odor is gone.
Absolutely.
It's wild.
I'm not going to lie. If I fry bacon in the kitchen, it's the first thing I do is grab the ozone unit. My wife will get upset. Like, you had that stupid thing on. I'm like, yeah, because it works.
Now, I do have to say, because hearing you do that.
The safety side of it.
Yeah, the safety side of it. Yep. Unoccupied rooms, obviously. Yep. That's why usually it's done in storage situations, or, you know, there are those Onyx of the world who are out in the field, and at least you're outside. But I mean, if it's blowing into the wind blowing into you, I mean, it still could affect you a little bit, I feel like. So there's definitely, that's one negative with ozone, and just with any industry, is there's a lot of just bad write-ups out there, you know, on the web about the effects of over consumption by a human, essentially. But it's out there. We have it on our labels. We prescribe, we teach, you know, everyone the right path with ozone. So I guess to go back to real quick with like our ozone bags, knowing that ozone can harm rubber and elastics, we have a pocket. So we have two pockets on both sides of our bag. One has grommets to allow ozone in. The other side doesn't have grommets, so you can keep like bino, like your binos, like safe range finders, anything that you don't want to have exposed by ozone, but you still want to use that, utilize that bag as a storage piece to bring all your gear back and forth from the field. We do provide some of that, those features in our designs as well. So,
yeah, I mean, it's really good. Like you see the evolution of a company that started basically in somebody's house with an idea of carbon works to capture odors. And it's not a secret. It's carbon is designed to absorb. And yeah. I see it like my first exposure to carbon was the carbon filters in an aquarium in a fish tank. And exactly. I was like, oh, it's absorbing something. Okay. Then I started hearing about scent lock and how it absorbs odors that way. So it's like, it was easy to make that connection, but how hard has it been to like educate the consumer on the process and how to utilize this garment efficiently to get the most out of it?
You know, that's one thing we talk about a lot. You know, I feel like we've had a lot of good educational pieces. We're starting to revamp those and reintroduce some of that content just to remind the current consumer and the new consumers. So, you know, we do get some customer service calls of people asking. We're pretty good at just answering right away, let them know what you need to do. But I mean, plain and simple with carbon, it's just get it in a tote, get in a bag, and it's a workhorse. It never sleeps. It's just sitting in that tote, absorbing odors constantly, right? So we make sure that the consumer knows that. And then also carbon can max out. So you need heat to regenerate the carbon to alleviate what it's had absorbed previously. And that's every 40 hours in the field is what we suggest, essentially.
40 hours in the field. So yeah, what if your clothing is not being stored properly? Is it capable of absorbing unwanted odors?
It is. Yep. Yeah. Wherever is in the house. I mean, if it's in a basement, basements tend to be a little damp, you know, even if you're running a dehumidifier, it's going to sit there and it's going to absorb some of those ambient odors that are in the area for sure in that room. So you do want to be careful about that. But just as long as you're regenerating, and a really fascinating thing that happened in the last few years is we found out through some testing that ozone actually helps regenerate carbon. Because think ozone as a gas form goes out and it grabs these odor molecules, like the molecules that there's multiple molecules that come together that create an odor, and it breaks that chain, essentially destroying the odor. So we're finding that ozone also helps regenerate the carbon, that it kills or pulls out what it has absorbed previously, which is really cool. So if you have a really good scent regimen, like I told you, I'm ozoning before, I'm ozoning after, I'm throwing stuff in the dryer. I mean, I'm constantly regenerating my apparel, my hunting apparel, just through the processes that I have. Now, I think what I've heard and what we say is the dryer, the heat is the best thing at the end of the day. But if you're utilizing ozone in tandem, I mean, you're pretty solid when it comes to keeping that carbon at its fullest capacity.
Yeah, and so the traditional dryer that I have in the house is all it takes. Is that a certain temperature that garment or that carbon needs to reach?
Yep. High. Put on high heat.
High heat. Okay. Yep. And then I would imagine that the clothing designed isn't made with fabrics are going to shrink and things like that.
Yep. That's what we, now, yeah, because we don't use a lot of cotton. Everyone knows cotton is the material that shrinks the most out of anything. Most of our stuff is like higher end materials, a lot of polys and stuff like that, where you don't get a lot of that shrinkage. So, yep.
So with the technology that you've been able to incorporate today versus where you started, there's been a drastic evolution within the brand, not only with the technology incorporated, but all these growth to products to add into to make an entire system. So can we talk a little bit about that evolution as a company and how you've kind of got through that? For it's been in business for a long time now.
Yeah, like I said, I think at the beginning, 30 plus years, man, founded in 92. Yeah, so back in the day with the carbon technology that we had then, you know, and then obviously vendors, manufacturers, like, you know, when you're new into the game, you got to go and find the right people, right, that can achieve better better quality products. So over the years, we were able to fine tune carbon to the degree where it allowed us to be able to introduce, better higher end fabrics, insulation packages, so on and so forth, which the evolution brought us to kind of where we are today, where we have a plethora of systems and categories or series or collections within Scentlock. So we kind of have our introductory series, I should say. We call it Scentlock proper, where it's like just all of our core products that are pretty well priced. And then we also now in the last, I think it's four, it's probably been 6 years now. I keep on forgetting, I've been here for 4 years now, but about 6 years ago, we introduced our Bowhunter Elite One series. We call it BE1 for short. And that's the series that we kind of elevated from the current product set that we have. So there we brought in, let's say for an example, like the Scentlock Proper's got ThinSlate for their insulation. Well, we go PrimaLoft for BE1 products. So it's a higher end insulation package. Same with like a lot of the features and benefits such as that. I mean, it could be whatever it is pockets, you know, all the little features that you get out of really technical garments. So I'd say it's a toolkit. BE1's a toolkit of systems that get you from the very heat of the early season all the way to the depths of the late season. Essentially, it's a toolkit of systems that you can utilize, and it's lightweight early season stuff, midweight stuff, heavyweight stuff, and then we got some tweeners too, where we, another awesome technological advancement which has became huge in the last, I'd say in the last half decade, is we brought heating into this toolkit. So we have our Reactor series, and we like to think Reactor is kind of it's still a standalone, but it's more of like, it's kind of that part of the toolkit or system that's like your mid layer. So we have a vest and a jacket. The heated vest was really a game changer for me, because now I'm still wearing my early season stuff in like late October, because I have this heated vest that, A, it's PrimaLoft insulation. So I like to say it's four levels of heat. You got your insulation for the vest that's in the vest already that helps hold, retain heat. But then you got three heating levels, a high, medium, and low. And you can crank the jams in high if like maybe you're feeling a chill and you didn't really wear as much as you should have into the field, which in return keeps you out there longer and hopefully makes you more successful too.
Today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Scents. Not only do they have an extensive lineup of deer scents and urines, but they also have some scent elimination products like laundry detergent, field spray, and everything else you need. So before you get started with your hunt this season, be sure to check out Code Blue Scents. So let's touch base about the heating side of clothing. How many people from 20, 30 years ago stopped hunting when the temperatures dropped because they just weren't able to, whether they were on blood thinners? Because I remember a family member of mine that he'd had a heart attack and he was capable of being out in the woods. But once it got cold, like his body just couldn't function in those cold temperatures. Had they had that 20 years ago for him, he would have been able to continue on his hunting career throughout the season.
Yeah.
And even now, like my kid, he's 12. He hates the cold. Like he's wearing a hoodie and it's 75 degrees outside. So
yeah.
And I'm like, hey, go take an ice bath. Let's get ready for hunting season. He's just not a cold natured person. So having those heated clothing keeps more people in the woods if they take advantage of that.
Oh, for sure. I used to bash it, tell you the truth. I'm like, you know, it's like, oh, just being tough, you know, being tough guy and just bashing it. And then as soon as I introduced it into my system, I got it. I was like, okay, this vest, it's pretty packable. It's got three heating levels and it's already insulated. So I'll pack that thing in my bag, you know, even for an evening hunt when it's maybe it's 60 degrees out. I walk in with early season stuff on, but you know, it drops that 10 degrees or whatever it is, and you got that little bit of chill because you have a single layer fabric garment on, and I can pull that thing out of my bag, throw it on, or vice versa, wear it in the morning, keep that chill off. And to be able to, it allows you to hunt longer, especially when you think about the rutting guys hunting all day long. It just gives you another thing to make you think less of going back in, you know? So
yeah, that's the thing. If I'm looking at my clothing and my gear, my goal when I make a purchase is to spend more time in the woods. So if I'm more comfortable, if I'm warmer, drier, that allows me to hunt in conditions that traditionally I may not be able to stay in. And even ground blinds help with that, being able to change that. But when it comes to clothing, like, that has to enhance my hunting experience. And that's a major player in those cold temperatures and things like that that you deal with.
It is. It is. And you think about all the people that bailed hunting because of suffering. You know what I mean? I think a little suffering's good. It kind of, it helps you adapt a little bit, but having the comfortability and the peace of mind, knowing that you have this thing in your pack that you can pull out any time just to keep yourself out in the woods longer, I think is huge. Cause you know, more time invested in the woods usually is, you know, better opportunity to success. So yeah.
I would much rather have it with me and available than and not need it.
I have it. Yeah.
To need it and not have it. And
exactly.
One of the times I can remember is I was back. So Southern West Virginia, we had access to a lot of ground growing up, but you just hop on a four wheel, you could drive. It wasn't like it is today with leases and stuff like that. And it started snowing, got getting colder throughout the day. And this was going to be an all day hunt. So me and my buddy, we met up at lunch and we built us a little campfire, and I had these gloves and I was like, man, they're wet from the snow. I said, I'll put sticks over top of the fire and I'll dry them out. Well, we got to talking. I wasn't paying attention, man. Those gloves fell down that fire and burned up. And you talk about a cold ride home that night because I didn't have any gloves. I'd mess myself up, burn them up.
Were you the one driving?
Oh, yeah. So we had different ATVs going from different areas, and I was just froze out. But
oh, I bet.
It makes a miserable experience. And having even heated hand packs would have been a much different experience for that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I'll still bring those in a little bit and throw them like in my, almost call it fanny pack, but you know, hand muff or whatever, throw some of those in there just because I'm one that doesn't like thick gloves. I like the thinnest glove possible or sometimes no glove, you know. Now if you're doing your maximum odor regimen in the field, no glove might be a no-no because you know, our body emits, you know, odors essentially. So that's kind of another thing I wanted to cover on with scent lock, because we're talking about clothing and protection and this and that. That's one thing that, you know, utilizing the garments to its fullest, you know, wearing head cover, wearing gloves, making sure that all those touch points are covered so that you minimize that odor signature as much as possible in the woods too. I meant to cover that earlier, which is what I wanted to touch on. So,
yeah, I mean, it's important. It's just like anything else. It's going to take the path of least resistance out of your body. And
yep.
Here's a weird fact. So I like to throw some curveball. Did you know that men produce a scent out of their hand that women don't produce? And if you put a man and woman side by side fishing with the same lures and they handle them the exact same way, fish the same way, she will catch more fish than he will because he will contaminate that because of a woman's hand doesn't.
Wow. So,
yeah. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have lotion on or whatever, but the truth of the matter is, like, that's like one thing about it. Like, you take a female fisher with you and you're like, she's always out fishing me. Supposedly, men's hands produce a scent that a woman's doesn't.
Wow. Well, since we're on scent and we're scent lock, I mean, this is a great time to talk about it. Is like, you know, we as humans have these parts of our body that expel more heat than others. Obviously, it's down low, and then armpits, and it's our face and our head, our hair. That's where the most scent comes out of our bodies. So if I was to prescribe anything to anyone that wants to minimize their odor to the max in the field, is obviously you're not going in nude. I mean, you're going to have clothes on, so you're good down here, but gloves, and I can't stress enough, a face cover. I do wear glasses and I have troubles with them fogging. I tried contacts, they dry out, and I'd realize, man, I can't even shoot my bow right now because I can't even see. So I go in glasses, but I always make sure at least have my mouth covered, because if I have both covered, usually, you know, I start to fog out. But I can't stress enough is keeping your hair and your breath covered as well, too.
Do you remember the scent control gum back year, maybe 10, 15 years ago?
I do, man. I do. Like, that's hilarious.
I still envy the idea of that process that it actually worked. Like, if we had something there that was just like that instant barrier, because like that's most people when they talk about scent control, and whether you believe it or where you don't, you either have guys that are definitely on the fence and kind of don't know what's going on. You've got diehards that believe it, diehards that don't. But yep, that mouth, bad odor, and what you eat, what you drink, all that plays a factor in it. So the importance of having that cap. Now, you have carbon capturing technology, that odor technology, in the face mask?
Yeah, we have in the face mask as well. Yep, all of our products essentially have the carbon alloy technology in them. It's funny you're talking about that gum, because I've heard through the grapevine, it might actually been might have been the Wired to Hunt podcast, Mark Kenyon. I think they talked about how someone had told him that apples neutralize your breath, the odor on your breath a little bit. So there must be like some of the acidity in them or something that does that. And maybe that's where that gum kind of came from. Maybe they found some of those chemical compounds or something or whatever that's found in other things that neutralize, and they put it in the gum. But that gum sounds a little scary. I don't know if I'd want to put it in my mouth or not. I think all the other stuff that we utilize day in, day out, and whatever else, but that's pretty funny, man. It's funny you brought that up, because I haven't thought about that in a long time.
But yeah, I can still remember seeing the packs on the counter at my local sporting goods store and being like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that's the one I'm going to go with. But like at the same time, I'm like, does it work? Yeah. Like, it's still in the back of your mind.
Hey, but you talked about the believers, the tweeners, the non-believers. You know, I want people to know we still play the wind here at Scentlock. I mean, I think wind is king. But having a really good odor / scent control regimen can alleviate just some of those additional variables, maybe giving you just that half a second, 2 second, 3 second, 5 second, 10 seconds that you need to be able to get the job done too, as well. So I thought I'd cover on that too.
Yeah, to touch base on that, like, there's no 100% guarantee. If you wear this clothing or you follow this process, you're going to be scent free. It's reducing the amount of odor that you're taking in the woods to increase your chances of, can you get to full draw when it comes time?
Exactly.
Can you get by with that deer? Is it going to accept that minimum amount of odor that you're producing versus, do you smell like a gas station?
Yeah. Did you go out drinking the night before? I mean, our metabolic stuff just comes out of reports. Think about like eat pasta or garlic the night before. You feel like you can almost just smell garlic just oozing out of your pores essentially that next day. So,
oh, absolutely. Like, and the guys that, like, I'm not a big drinker. So like, I can't imagine like when I would drink a beer, like the next day I've just stunk. Like,
oh yeah.
So people at deer camp, like, you guys are probably throwing them back. I can't do that. Like, I know how much I would stink after drinking a couple beers. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine going there. I changed my diet completely. Now, it ain't healthy. I'm still fat. But, like, I'm not drinking asparagus, or I'm not eating asparagus. I'm not drinking anything other than water. Like, I'm extremely cautious with what I put into my body as far as producing scent.
Yeah.
And that's just part of that regimen.
I do the same thing. I mean, John Eberhardt, everyone knows he's a big Scentlock advocate. And he's to the extreme with everything, which is great. I mean, and he's the one that mentioned onions and garlic. He doesn't eat onions. He doesn't eat garlic. He also doesn't drink coffee, and it's not the odor thing. It's having to go to the bathroom when you first get in the morning. Yeah. You know, that'll ruin a hunt pretty quickly in the morning. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. But, so I surprisingly enough, am I 35? I'm mid 30s now. I never drank a drop of coffee.
Oh, good for you, man.
I've occasionally I'll have a little V8 energy drink, like, mm-hmm. and that's just in the last couple years since the baby got here. But
Yeah.
I am not a caffeine guy, but I love naps.
Good for you. I try to cut back a little bit, especially in the hunting season, because I've been there. It's not fun, not cool at all. Could ruin your whole entire hunt. So I definitely commend you on that. I still unfortunately need caffeine on a daily basis right now. So
yeah, I told myself in life, I was like, I'm not drinking caffeine until I need it when I have a kid. And this turkey season, I mean, I'm staying up to 12, 1 o'clock with a baby, get up at 4 o'clock on a day that I had a chance to hunt. And I drank one of those little energy drinks, and man, I peed every 30 seconds. I was like, I hate this. Like, this is stupid. Why would anybody want to do this in life? But stayed awake.
Yeah, you did. You're alert.
So a little bit more about the apparel lineup. So you guys have something unique that a lot of people don't have. A lot of companies don't have, and that's a youth lineup. And it's not a crappy lineup. You guys have some quality clothes for youth apparel.
Yeah.
So that's a hard product to find. And somebody with kids, like, that's something I've always looking for, is clothing that fits them.
Yep. Yeah. No, We have a few silhouettes, is like we call silhouettes, as in top and bottoms. We obviously have a suit that's very warm, because you know, kids are usually cold. You're just talking about your son at 70 degrees wearing a hoodie. So we have a mid-season solution, which, you know, probably will help a majority of that early season for the youth, and then as well as the late season piece that I talked about too. And then we started introducing we're going to start introducing like potentially some extra smalls, like in the men's stuff, to kind of help with some of the accessory side of things too when it comes to gloves as well, which will be kind of nice, because then you got women with smaller hands that want to wear scent lock, and we have an extra small option there too, you know. So
yeah, I'm not going to lie. So I'm going to throw myself under the bus here, but I have found myself buying, because I'm not going to say that I'm cheap, but I like a good deal every now and then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found myself, usually I'll wear like a large men's glove, maybe a medium, depending on the glove.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go up a size in the women's side if they have a women's glove, extra large, or maybe a large if it'll fit. And I'll get them for like half price. And I'm like, man, that was a good glove for hardly nothing. Because most women don't have extra large hands or large hands. So those sizes were more available. And now I'm like, it's the same glove. It looks exactly the same. So I hate to say that I'm wearing women's gloves on occasions, but yeah.
Hey, I've heard it through the grapevine. Jay's Sporting Goods they have two locations here in Michigan. And I heard through the grapevine there that there's guys who are coming in and buying DSG because of how short they were. So think of like a shorter guy. We don't offer shorts. We offer regular and talls, and we offer actually a decent amount of talls, which is a good thing to talk about here too, so that the listeners know that we offer a decent amount of talls in our assortments and certain categories or silhouettes, you should say. But I heard about really short guys buying in a DSG at a Jay's Sporting Goods just because it fit the length of their torso and their legs.
So we're getting off track, but the reason why is because Steve and I talk all the time. So we have a relationship outside of this podcast, unlike some people that I talk to on it. But I stopped. Remember Gander Mountain? So Gander Mountain was going out of business.
Yeah.
I loved Gander Mountain. Like, their prices when they had a sale was great. So I get on the sales rack one day and I pull off another competitor's clothing brand, and these pants were like 75% off.
Yeah.
They were a youth XL, and I'm like, man, they'll fit. I tried them on. I put them around my waist. I looked down and I could see my ankle bones. I was like, well, there's a reason why these don't fit. But I was a lot smaller and skinnier, 135 pounds when I was a senior in high school. So like, my clothing options were a lot smaller than what they are now. But so,
you know, I was going to say, this is a good segue to talk about fit too, you know, with the company. You know, we're talking about fit, we're talking about talls, us introducing talls. We also, you know, fashion kind of has driven the hunting industry, especially I think with like social media. Everyone wants to look good and feel good in the woods, right? So we as a company in the last handful of years have really been doing a good job at readjusting and fixing the fit. Not that we're fixing, there's just a different expectation nowadays. Before, it was just kind of like, your generic alphas, you know, you got your small, medium, large, you know, if it's a little big, it's a little big. I'm going to end up throwing some layers underneath it, whatever. But now people want technical, they want a lower rise so that they don't feel restricted. Like think of a saddle hunter who's in this old garment with a really low rise and we always want to try to get up in the tree and have like my sticks are probably like 2 feet plus apart from each stick so I can get as high up in the tree as I possibly can. And think about having some of these older garments where you can't put your knee into your chest and step up to that next step. Like there's, like I said earlier, form, fit, function. We're really trying to push on that and really follow the trend in fashion and like how people expect things to fit nowadays, because they want to feel good, look good, and also be successful at the end of the day too. So,
okay. Hey, let me interrupt this podcast episode real quick and talk about huntinggeardeals.com. If you're interested in saving money on hunting gear, there's no better place on the web. Basically what huntinggeardeals.com does is scour the web for discounted products on hunting gear and shares them in one convenient location. So type in huntinggeardeals.com in your web browser and sign up for the daily deal email so you never miss a deal. Now, back to the show.
So do you find that you have to, if you wear a large and it's a layering system that you guys are kind of building now, if I wore a large top, do I need a large base layer, mid layer, and a top and a jacket or an outer layer? Or do I need to kind of size those as I go, depending on what I'm wearing underneath it?
Generally, you're pretty safe. Like our reactor series, which is like that mid layer, and then same with the vest, you're able to match large. Now, it depends too. So apparel is really difficult. It's really difficult because everyone's all different sizes and shapes and this and that. So I have in the past wear medium bottoms because I have chicken legs and I have a 32-inch waist. And then I would get large tops, but have a medium vest. So I guess I have kind of found that I kind of mix and match here and there. That's just based off of use. And it really depends where I'm at in my life right now. I might be a little bit more on the top end of a medium now too, but, that's kind of how I've utilized. So if you can kind of manage your sizes that way, it's beneficial, but also I put large on large, I put medium on medium, and it's fine. It just depends on what your preference is too. Unfortunately it's kind of a yes and no. I think it's body types are just so difficult. We struggle with that every day, you know, like with customer service and stuff like that. And I can tell you every apparel company does. I mean, we have guys here that are 6'4" that, you know, complain about stuff being too short. We got guys here that are 5'6" that are complaining about stuff being too long. I mean, it's just kind of the name of the game when it comes to apparel. Now, don't think of that negatively at all. Luckily with Scentlock, with us being such a well-established brand, we're in Bass Pro, we're in Cabela's, we're in retail. So don't feel like you got a gun to your head. Go to your local Cabela's, Bass Pro, Sportsman's Guide, try the stuff on. We also have, you know, we have a pretty decent return policy too. I mean, if you can afford it, or if you have a credit card, order both sizes if you're in a pinch, and go with the one that fits best too, and then return the other too. I've done that multiple times, even shoes and boots and all sorts of stuff, you know, in the apparel industry that's outside of hunt as well. So
yeah, that's the biggest thing is the fact that a lot, you guys are not only direct to consumer, but you're like in a bunch of these retail stores. And yeah, So that's a huge advantage when it comes to trying on clothing, getting the perfect fit. Exactly. And then it's not uncommon for you guys to have a pretty good sale going on. So if you've got a product that you're looking to save some money on, like maybe you don't buy it then and there at that time, but take the notes, put it in your phone. Like I wear this size on this product. Yeah. And then as soon as that product goes on sale, like I know a place that you can get the yeah, first dibs on it.
Yeah, you know, but that for sure.
So your apparel lineup, you guys have made leaps and bounds from kind of where you've started and have your own niche within the industry as far as odor control.
Yep.
You've migrated into a better fit and finish and a layering system versus an all-in-one. Like I remember as a kid having this huge 3-in-1 jacket
and a pair of bibs to go with it, and you just zipped and piece pit stuff together, and it was just a heavy mess. But now, like, layering systems are kind of where we're at, and see, you guys have grown with that. So anything else with the apparel lineup that we should know when it comes to making a buying decision?
No, not really. I feel like we covered everything. You know, you got, remember, we have the elevated portion of our brand, BE1. And then you have Setlock proper. It depends on what price point you're at. And if you are more of a layering system type of guy, I'd say BE1 probably has a little bit easier of a story there. It's broken down. Setlock proper side of things, you could still build a decent toolkit, you know, utilizing some of our early season stuff, base layers, mid-season. I mean, you can mix and match. We find people doing that all the time. It's like when people buy stuff and we look at our numbers, the pants and jackets aren't always aligned quantity-wise because people are mixing and matching already because they understand what they like and what works for them in the field. So all I can say is just go over to scentlock.com, check out our stuff, and go to you can find in the by brands here. I got a computer in front of me. Might as well do it right now. If you go to clothing and you can do shop by series, we have our Bowhunter Elite 1 series. And that brings you to a landing page that kind of has every chunk of that collection, all the different systems that you can use together to definitely mix match and be able to layer and unlayer, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah, it's good to know, like, how to build that system, because if you're newly exposed to the brand, and most people in this industry are going to know who Scentlock is, but the idea of the BE1 series, like, sometimes we don't realize, like, hey, how great a product line is until you really start diving into it, and that's kind of why we're here, is to bring those good products to light. So having that broke down to making that shopping and buying experience easier not only converts more, but it educates the consumer on what you need and kind of how do you can fill those gaps in your arsenal.
Exactly. Yeah, that's well put, man, for sure.
So we've talked about the clothes. We've talked a little bit about ozone, but let's talk about some storage opportunities, because you guys have a lot of storage options for us.
Yeah, so storage does kind of, for us, storage mainly does live in the ozone side of things. So, but we do have some non-ozone storage solutions too, but so we have rolling bag, a duffel bag, we have a closet as well. The closet's awesome. I mean, let's say you're like, I own a lot of small properties here in Michigan, and I'm fortunate enough to have a neighbor lets me hunt behind my house on his property, and it's so awesome to have this closet that I can go and push a button while I'm going to make coffee and getting ready to do my regiment in the morning and be able to ozone my stuff and have it there easy to grab from a closet and walk out the door and get dressed, essentially. So yeah, we have a closet, holds a decent amount of stuff. And one little hack that I do with it, it's a pretty sturdy system. I actually cut a piece of plywood, put it on the top, and that's where I keep totes and bags and stuff on top as well, which is kind of a cool little tidbit I'd like to just throw out there, because not a lot of people maybe done that or utilized such a thing. And then back to the non-carbon storage solutions, we have a swap bag in two different sizes, a 5K and an 8K. The 8K bag and the 5K size are also the similar sizes that you can find in our ozone duffel bags as well. So whether you're kind of the should say maybe not weekend warrior, but if you're the guy that just doesn't need a massive 8K bag, we have a 5K solution. In 5K is 5,000 cubic, essentially. So that he can just have just what he needs for if it's like a quick set after work or whatever. Or we have our 8K solution where I bring that to deer camp. I can fit a late season suit in it, a mid season suit, and an early season suit, and a bunch of accessories and stuff in that thing, and haul it all around. It's a pretty slick solution to have. And then we have some stuff sacks and stuff like that as well that actually are carbon lined too. So you can definitely utilize that stuff if you're more of a minimalist and you don't need a big duffel bag. We have other more affordable choices and options as well.
So here's a question you may not know the answer to, but is that 8K roller bag, is it like TSA approved, like good for flying if I'm traveling?
Yeah, we actually utilize a lot of those bags. We had some custom ones made that has like our umbrella company's name on it, essentially, that we carry around to buy groups and shows and whatever else. So yeah, yep.
Okay.
Yep, we've traveled with them.
Yep. I'd say the biggest weakness right now that I have in my scent control and storage regimen is not having a closet. So where I used to live, I had a physical closet that didn't have ventilation in it that I utilized for scent control and had everything nice and neatly organized. Now it's just in the garage and I've got my stuff and my kids and too much gear. So like, that's probably something I need to invest in to make my experience getting my clothing prepared much easier and simpler.
Yeah, what's cool about that closet too is on the side, you're able to zip these two compartments up, but then when you unzip them, they fall down and they're boot compartments. So we got a taller one for like taller rubber boots. And then we have one at the top that is for like your more shorter, like lace up style boot as well. Now remember, ozone, rubber, you know, just be careful of it. There are grommets down there to let a little bit into there. I just make sure I just don't overdo it. Again, just remember, using ozone in moderation is huge. I mean, it goes a long way. Just like a dot's not a lot, like they tell you, or dot not a lot, like they tell you back in school when you're using Elmer's glue, you know. that closet, man, it's awesome. And we got some other exciting stuff in the pipeline for Oz. Like Oz hasn't really had a revamp in a while, and you can say you guys should be looking out for some cool stuff, hopefully here in 2025 as well for Oz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How any of that stuff, you can just give us the inside scoop now and put it on our radar.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what we'll have to do is get you back on the podcast to talk about those once they drop.
How's yes, that? Yes, yes. Yep. It'll probably be a more of a ATA drop, you know, come January. So
you had some new products drop at ATA this year around that time frame. When can those be, what were they, and when can they be expected to be in consumers' hands?
Oh, wow. So one of them's already in stock. This year we launched our very first solid outerwear piece. So we launched two seasons ago our Phantom BE1 Phantom series, which is our lightweight solution in the BE1 toolkit or collection, I should say. And we launched a solid in that pant this year because that pant, I told you about form, fit, function earlier. That's also the first pant that is not alpha, it's numeric. So it's numeric waist size. So you buy to your waist size on that pant, and it's the fit of it's great. Like I was talking about how like I want to be able to feel like I can put my knee into my chest when I lift my leg. That particular pant we launched in a solid. So it's just a new colorway this year, not new product, but just the way solids are trending. And the fact that you see a lot more guys wanting to wear, I'm not going to prescribe this, but it's going to happen. You can see it's out of my control. Now that's a solid, you'll probably see that out in the wild, people wearing it casually too, you know, which is kind of a cool thought as well. Yeah.
So like as a consumer that is head over heels within the hunting industry and want to support the brands and stuff like that, that I utilize on in the woods, I don't want to wear camouflage to church. I don't want to wear it to go to Walmart, but what I will wear is a solid pant that I can do both with.
Yeah.
So that's nice to have. If you want to support a brand and like Scentlock and you guys have that solid, like it's a piece of clothing that you can wear in the field because it's functionable. And then it's also a little stylish too. Like, yeah, I'm representing something that I'm passionate and that I love out in the real world.
Yeah, it's got a technical look. It's got sexy black logos on it. I mean, it's something that you definitely feel proud about wearing out in the field and in public as well. And then back to the products, I know probably a majority of people know, but maybe not all. We did work with John Eberhardt on a saddle specific suit a couple seasons ago, but it was a late season suit. So this year, at ATA, we launched or teased a mid-season saddle suit, which what makes it a saddle suit is, so yeah, you know, I don't know if you saddle hunt, but you know, you got your bridge, essentially. So we raise the pockets up, so you can actually have access to your pockets, or else like most of those pockets down here, down low on a jacket, you can't even utilize in a saddle essentially, because it's generally covered or the saddle wraps around it. We also gave it a little bit more of a tail, so you have that nice tuck into your saddle, so you don't have your rear end showing or your jacket coming untucked from the saddle itself, which is quite annoying. I've been there. For the pants itself, no rear pockets, because why? I hate when I go and get in a saddle at my house just to shoot, you know, in the yard. You know how many times I get in that saddle and realize that my phone is in my back pocket in that saddle, and I got to get up on my platform and dig for my phone, get it out or whatever. So no need for back pockets. And then there's also the normal cargo pockets. We slid them to the front so that you can still access them a lot easier. If you need to reach, you know, through your bridge or what have it, just a little bit easier access points when it comes to pockets, when hunting out of saddle. And then we integrated EVA foam knee pads as well. Now, they're not a super thick solution. I'm not a knee pad guy. I kind of just deal without the knee pads because I just don't need any more stuff to bring in the field, because I am a stuff guy. I bring a lot of gear. We talked about heated stuff. I bring extra battery packs and stuff like that. So we integrated knee pads and put these abrasion resistant materials on the knees itself on the outside, but on the inside you can actually take the foam pads out if you don't want them as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, for me, like somebody that I don't know, my cartilage in my knees just not as thick as what they're supposed to be, so like I have some knee issues without having a knee injury, so that is one of my biggest hindrances when I'm in a saddle is just knee pain, because I need that extra padding. So
yeah, I hear that too. So yeah, I mean, your solution is obviously getting knee pads, or maybe trying out our suit here in the future. You know, I think it's just enough foam to just kind of alleviate. If you're going to hunt for 10 hours, maybe you might need some other type of solution. Hence why we allow you to pull that EVA foam out of the knee pad or out of the knees, so that you can use some of those other solutions that these saddle companies have as well. I guess going down new product, we also launched, and this is a big, it's funny, there's such small things, but they're also a big hole in our assortment, insulated waterproof hats. So we have a bomber style hat on Scentlock proper side, which has the flaps so you can Velcro completely so you get maximum coverage. And then we have, I always forget what you call this style hat, but on the BE1 side, we did the one where it just has like kind of little earmuff bumps that you can fold up essentially, but they are fully waterproof, fully windproof, and they're insulated with like 80 grams of, one's Thinsulate and one's Primaloft. I think the Primaloft version is about, I think it's 60 or 80 grams of Primaloft insulation. So A, it's going to keep your head warm. It's going to keep your head dry. I'm one that doesn't like my ears covered to the max. So what I'm going to really enjoy about this hat is like, I'm going to be able to keep the ear flaps up a little bit, still be able to have my maximum hearing, but cover that part of your ears that get really cold. And then also if there's a little bit of a rain or if there's wind, you're going to have that protection as well with these hats too. So pretty excited about those. Again, very small, they're accessories, but a big hole that I think is going to fill this void that we've had. And we tested them this last season and all of us wore the heck out of them. So, which was awesome.
Sometimes it's the smallest details that make the biggest difference. When you're in a tree, it's 20 degrees outside, and it's a difference in staying in that tree and hunting longer.
Yeah.
Or getting out and walking home.
Yep. That's well put, man, for sure. Yep. And that was about it for Scentlock. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but that was like those are the big things we launched this last year. Like I said earlier, a lot of other big things are to come here. A lot of stuff, obviously I can't share, but you know, I talked about solids earlier. So hint, maybe a little bit of more of that coming into the hopper, and then, you know, just still fine tuning and, reintroducing/moving around particular, existing products or old products that we've tweaked and refined to kind of fill some of those other voids that we have in both areas. So,
well, is there anything else that we should know, product line or about ScentLock?
No, man. I just, we talked about metabolic, earlier, and I think that's the biggest tip that I always give at the end of a lot of these podcasts is just, utilize the product how we've designed it to minimize that odor signature. I mean, that's just as simple as just some of the cover, just make sure you're covered up. Like I said earlier, make sure you keep that mouth covered. We like I said at the beginning of this, we have you covered head to toe. So don't get overwhelmed with a process, because you do it enough, it just becomes second nature. So it's just shower, make sure you're covered up in the field, use AutoZone if you want, and then also pre and post, make sure that your stuff is sealed up so that it's ready for you in that next hunt. And make sure you reseal it when you're done. I mean, simple as that. And regenerating your carbon, every 40 hours, it's pretty easy. You just throw it in the dryer. And, when you throw something that's not wet in the dryer, they all have those sensors nowadays. It's not that long of a process to throw in the dryer. And it's like a 15-minute, 20-minute process there. And that doesn't have to be done pre-hunt. I've done it pre-hunt, but that can be something you just do post-hunt, and then keep your tote or your bag in front of the dryer and pull it all out, throw it in there and seal it up, and you're done.
Yeah, so we did not utilize scented laundry detergent and dryer sheets in our washer and dryer in this household until we had a baby, and then you had to have the baby laundry detergent. Perfect. But now, I will spray my laundry or my dryer and stuff like that with a field spray, get it clean,
yep,
slip in the ozone unit and let it kind of do its thing for a few minutes, and then dry my clothes. So I take that extra precaution when you have that contaminated area, because that activated carbon, it's going to want to attach to those odors if they're foreign odors inside of that, correct?
Yeah, we all do the same thing. I run my washer on the clean cycle. And then I'll throw, I don't use those little cleaning blocks or whatever that you can buy, because they're usually scented.
Yep.
I'll just throw unscented detergent in there and do a cleaning load or do a cleaning cycle. I'm fortunate enough that we're kind of in a household that doesn't really care for a lot of scented things. So, the life of my washer and dryer right now has never had scented laundry detergent nor scented dryer sheets. So I'm in a pretty good place, other than all that dog hair that likes to collect inside of the trap, yep, on the dryer. So come hunting season, I'm vacuuming in there, I'm scraping out stuff. And then, like you said, running ozone treatments. One thing I did not cover, and I hate to prolong this, I'm from the Midwest, so this is Midwest goodbye. I could go on forever, but we have the Infuse. It's an Oz product. It's a spray bottle that replaces field spray. So you push the button, it infuses ozone into the H2O, and you can spray that on your hard goods. And I use that thing to spray the inside of my washer and dryer when I'm cleaning it. And there's other products out there. There's other companies that are doing that, are promoting it for other uses in the household, cleaning your countertops, spraying your fruit off. Because, fruit goes bad quickly because, yeah, of some of the contaminants from it being shipped and whatnot. That's why strawberries go bad quickly, is from touching it, handling it. You can, this company we're looking into, they're promoting spraying ozonated water onto fruit to keep it, to have it last longer, essentially. That's a product that's kind of gone out of the radar for a little time now. It was a big product right out of the gate. But I still stand by it. It's an amazing, amazing tool. And one last thing on why I use it, think about field spray. I'm not bashing on field spray. I love using it in other applications, but when you put field spray on your bow and your bow is now slimy and kind of slippery, yep, or whatever, you don't get this from this product. the ozonated water. It's just straight up tap water. You just put tap water in it, hit the button, it runs for 90 seconds, and you got ozonated water fully charged and ready to spray on any hard surface, essentially. And it kills up the 99.9% of bacteria and odor-causing bacteria.
Huh. That is something I may have to add to my arsenal this year. Yeah.
It's awesome. You just got to remember to have water on you. Now, if we have viewers or listeners on here that are like, I'm on that, I'm getting it, use tap water. You have to have some of those impurities in the tap water for the ozone to activate in there. Because if you put like purified water, like bottled water in there, the ozone doesn't want to react with it as much as it would with something that's got a little bit more impurities in it.
Interesting.
Just a little tidbit there. That's something that's like in our customer service hopper and everything else that we try to communicate to the customer as well when purchasing an infuse.
Now, is there like a filtration system that you have to change out or anything? Because I've got like, they call it like a hard water, but like there's just a lot of junk in our tap water in town. And I'm sure a lot of people have that.
I mean, I'm on a well too. I got a little bit of that odor. You got some well water here and there, you know, some of the, you know, impurities, iron and whatever else. But I use mine. I never had any issues with it. There's no filter in it. It's literally the water just sits. Water sits above where the unit is, and the unit dissipates the ozone into the water reservoir above it, essentially. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think I'll have to give that one a shot this year. If nothing else, just cleaning the washers and dryers out.
Dude, it's awesome. I use it on my countertops too. If I keep it around, if I keep it out, I forget about it, you know, but I try to keep it out so that I like a lot of us do, I clean stainless steel appliances, clean countertops with it, everything, knowing that it kills 99.9%. So it's a natural way. You're not using anything scented with odors. You're not using any of the chemicals that are like in a lot of our cleaning products nowadays. It's just a really good all natural way that's super effective as well, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, I wish that we would have recorded this much sooner so I would have gotten that for my wife for Mother's Day.
Ooh.
That would have been such a good gift.
Thursday, you might be able to get it in time.
Yeah, so it's like, man, can I make it down to the Cabela's and grab one?
There might not be one there, but you could probably, you could say we might be seeing us in Bass Pro Cabela's a little bit more with Oz as well here soon in the future. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, you just added something to the shopping list for the season.
Yeah.
All right, man. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed learning more about ScentLock and your wide variety of products and seeing how you guys have grown through the years with the technological advancements and talking scent control. Like, I'm a big scent control guy. So, where can we find more information about ScentLock?
Well, easy, just scentlock.com. And product-wise, we're in a lot of the big retailers out there as well. So back to where we talked about fit. If you have anything in question, go to your local Bass Pro Cabela's and try our stuff out there too if need be.
That works, man. I appreciate you being on the podcast and look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.